Hey, what's happening, Outlander fans? Welcome back to Bannex Bonnets and Kilts. I'm your host, Jenny Coco Cure. This is episode 19 of Bannex Bonnets and Kilts, where we are now on that rewatch recap version of Bannex Bonnets and Kilts, where we're going back to season one of Outlander and recapping those episodes. We are up to episode 4 this week, and that episode is entitled The Gathering. I have watched The Gathering a couple of times already over the past week. Loved going back and doing that. I'm loving just going back and watching all these episodes of Outlander from season one, bringing back a lot of memories about when I first started getting into this show, being a fan of the books and then watching the show. It's just such a treat. So it's just nice to go back and reflect on and go back and see all the first shows of this really great show. So this particular episode is essentially about Claire trying to escape Castle Leok. As you recall in last week's recap and in the last episode of Outlander entitled The Way Out, at the end, Claire and Jamie were sitting in this little concert listening to the singer sing about the woman who went to the stones and traveled back in time, but then she managed to go back to the stones and go back to her own time. So Claire was given some hope, you know, after she had lost hope when she had saved the boy, Thomas, oh my God, what was his name? Thomas Baxter, was that his name? I forgot his name. Anyway, Mrs. Fitzgibbon's nephew, her sister's son, had been stricken by poison. Everybody thought he was possessed by a demon, but Claire figured out he was actually poisoned, gave him a cure, healed him, and then everybody started looking at Claire as a godsend and a great healer, and they weren't going to let her go anywhere. So she was feeling all bad about it, but then she went to this concert with Jamie and listened to this singer sing about this woman who traveled back through the stones, but then managed to get back to the stones and go back to her own time. So the episode ended with her being so happy and thinking that she had now some hope about getting out of this place. So this episode, The Gathering, begins with Claire off in the forest playing with all these kids from the castle. And she's running through the forest and having a good time with these kids. But as she is doing that, she is leaving herself a trail. She left her hair ribbon on one tree branch, and she left her shawl tie on another branch, and she's dropping breadcrumbs. She's leaving herself a trail, so that when she does leave the castle later that night, which is her plan during the height of the gathering, when everyone's going to be distracted, that she can get back to these markings and find her way so that she can get out of there and escape. So anyway, she's found eventually as she's running around with these kids by Angus and Rupert, who are still watching over her. They're tired of seeing her run around with these kids. They're telling her, "We want to go have fun at the gathering. You're killing our buzz, you know." So she finally leaves the kids and goes on with Angus and Rupert. She manages to get rid of at least one of her guards, Angus, by showing them that this woman had eyes for them that was in the area, you know, of all the people getting ready for the gathering. There was this this rather plump but attractive woman who was, making goo-goo eyes at the men. They didn't know exactly which one, maybe both. She said, I guess she was like, "I don't care, whichever one of y'all want to come and roll with me, I'm good." You know, so Claire was like, okay, because they started to fight over which one of them would go over to her. And Claire was like, "Look, let's just draw straws." So she took a straw from somewhere or a stick, and she broke it and then, lined it up evenly in her hands and had them pick one. And Rupert drew first. He drew a star. For some reason, he thought that was the winner. And then Claire showed that the other straw was actually longer. So Angus got all excited and happy. And he went over to the woman to, get him some afternoon loving. I don't know what he was expecting. But anyway, Rupert went off with Claire so that she could go pick up a horse because she was going to be going on the hunt. They have a hunt during the gathering where they kill a boar. And apparently this can be a little deadly, a little dangerous. So she went on this hunt. She went to pick a horse. And when she went to pick a horse, she was saying to herself in her Claire, the narrator's voice, she was saying she needed to pick a certain type of horse, because I can't even remember. It's something about the horse having to be of even temper or something like that so that, you know, she could control him, I guess. So when she went there, she saw Alex there and she was asking for a horse. And he was saying, well, there are no more horses, you know. And she was like, well, I'll need one, you know, during the hunt because they've asked me to come along. And Alex was like, well, I think he said that they had one horse, but the horse was, I think she said at one point, well, if you're too busy, because Alex was in the middle of grooming a horse. And she's like, well, if you're busy, I'll ask Mr. McTavish to help me. He says, not. Jamie's not here and you need to just leave him alone. Alec is basically telling Claire to let Jamie alone while the gathering is going on. That's good for, you know, everyone involved. And Claire is like, well, I didn't know I was a bother to him. He's like, I don't know if you're a bother or not. I just know that this is what's best. Just leave Jamie to himself during the gathering. So then he looks over and sees this horse and he says, I think this horse will be good for you. His name is Brimstone. And Claire's like, that sounds ominous. And he's like, nah, she's sweet. And, you know, she's easy to handle and can go for a long time. Just note that if you're not minding her every moment, she will head back for home, just as certain as his name is Alec. she is one to kind of wander back to the castle. So Claire, of course, is thinking, yeah, I don't need that. I don't need a horse that's going to come back here. So after Claire leaves the stable, she heads back down to her surgery and she's startled when she sees that Galus is already in there waiting for her. Galus had brought her a bottle of port, which is something that Claire needed for the gathering, I guess. And while Galus was there, you know, she was being nosy, going through Claire's stuff, saying, I see you got a lot of food down here. Are you eating for two? Claire's like, I'm eating for two just because I have my own food down here so I don't have to keep going back and forth to the kitchen. And Galus was like, well, you know, if you had an illegitimate pregnancy, that would explain why you're so anxious to get to France. And Claire was like, no, I just be hungry, okay, dang. Then Galus was like, you know, when I first got here, all I had were my wits about me. But then I found a respectable man with a good position and some money put away and a decent house. And I know he's not much to look at, but, you know, he's taking care of me and I can do what I want. I'm free. And Claire's like, well, good for you. You seem to have a good life for yourself here. She's like, yeah, I'm doing just fine. And, you know, the Highlands is not a good place for a woman to be alone. And Claire's like, okay, well, anyway, are you going to be at the oath taking later? And Galus was like, yeah. And Claire's like, I guess I'll see you there then. Cause you know, I'm pretty busy. I got a lot to do. And Galus was like, okay, all right. So she leaves, but oh, she's so nosy. Oh yeah. At one point she had even noticed that Claire had some kind of plant that puts you to sleep. And she's like, well, you've got enough down here to put an army to sleep. And Claire's like, oh, I just collected it, but you know, and Galus was like, you better boil it because it's pretty potent or whatever. And Claire's like, yeah, I'll remember that. Because Galus, you know, on the sly was like, oh, I guess you need this for sleep. And I have trouble sleeping too, you know, but you got a lot of it down here, like enough for an army or something. Just nosy. So Claire had to get rid of her. So she left, and then Claire got the food that she had, you know, piled up and some other stuff and put it in a knapsack and hid it under her bed because, of course, this is what she is taking with her when she makes her escape. So after that, Claire goes to the kitchen. She tries to swipe a knife because she needs a weapon, but she's interrupted by Mrs. Fitz, who looks at her and says, you're not wearing that to the gathering. Claire's like, oh, I didn't think they want Sassenach to come. She's like, oh, nonsense. You call them special guests. Claire's like, well, I don't have anything to wear. And Mrs. Fitz says, oh, I got you, girl. So she takes her and takes her off somewhere to pretty her up. So later that evening, when everybody is all dressed up in their nice attire and we get to see the cameo of Ron Moore and his fancy garments, you know, making a cameo as one of the people at the gathering, and then Diana Gabaldon. And when Claire and Mrs. Fitz show up, they're all dressed up. Claire has on her nice dress and Mrs. Fitz has on her nice dress. And then when they go up toward the to the second story, I guess, Mrs. Fitz runs into Diana Gabaldon as one of the guests. And Diana says, oh, Mrs. Fitz, you have the place looking like, well, I don't know what she says. She says something about how nice the place looks. And but I think she might have been being cheeky. But then Mrs. Fitz looks at her and says, oh, that dress, it looks so nice on you, just like it did last year. Anyway, let me go over here. I got other stuff to do. Oh, the shade. I like that little bit of shade. And she did it so, I mean, it was just so eloquent and just, it was just masterful. And then when she left, it's like it didn't even happen. She was done with it. It was over. That's how you do shade. You do shade and then it's done. It's over. It don't have to be any more in your conscience. It's just done. Love it. So anyway, after that, the ceremony begins with Colum coming in. He goes up to his throne and he makes a big speech to everyone. And then the proceedings start, which basically is all of the men of the clan. I mean, all of them getting in line, starting with Dougal. He was the first one to go up to Colum and to pledge his fealty to Colum, get on his knee, let Colum, you know, I guess bless him some kind of way, kiss his knife, kiss Colum's dagger, or kiss his own dagger. I don't know. Basically saying that if he were to ever betray Colum, then may this dagger pierce his heart, and he kisses it. Then he gets up, he takes a drink of some wine or whatever from a bowl. Colum drinks from it as well, and then everybody claps. So after that, all the other men get in line and do the exact same thing. And Claire looks over at Murtaugh and says, okay, is this what everyone does? Get in line and say the same thing? Murtaugh says, yep, pretty much. So Claire's like, okay, well, you know what? I got other stuff to do, so I'm going to go do that since, you know, hey, you see one oath, you see them all. So she leaves to go finish getting ready to escape. So as she's leaving, she notices that, you know, the next person in line, Angus, has already given his pledge, and then, you know, she sees him and she says, because he's her guard, she really can't leave without her guard. So she says, well, this is an interesting ceremony. She says, congratulations to him. She says, you know what, but I got to go back to the surgery. We have to prepare for the hunt tomorrow. And then she starts to leave. She says, shall we go? And he's following her. He's like, wait, this is the festivities. No, wait, yo, I'm not going down to your hole with you. I'm trying to have fun at the festivities. And she's like, well, I guess I might as well join you, I guess, if you insist on me staying. So she pulls out this bottle from her cleavage. And what was it, her cleavage? Well, she pulled it out from somewhere. And she takes a swig. And he's like, that's the spirit. That's how you do it. And she handed him the bottle. And he says, thank you. And he takes a long, long drink. Very rude, if you ask me. Someone hands you their flask. You don't just drain it. I mean, but he was just going to town. And then after he drank like half of it, he says, that's not Rhenish. She says, it's port. So that was the port that Gillis had given her. And then he's like, port. She's like, yes. He says, it's very strong. She's like, yes, it's a sedative. She's smiling, real evil too. And he's like, is that Spanish? She's like, go take it, share it with your friends. He's like, wow, so strong. I can't keep my legs. She's like, yeah, that's the point. Well, she doesn't say that, but that's what she's assuming. So as he goes off, you know, to find him somebody to get with, you know, and he's all dirty, slapping women on the butt and stuff. And, you know, Claire's looking off at him and knows that in a minute he's just going to be out of his head because it's a sedative. So she, and it's the plant that Galus had told her about in the surgery. So apparently Claire took the plant and put it in, or did something with it and put it into the port. And used it now to drug Angus and whoever else he shares that flask with. So anyway, she goes back down to the surgery to get her stuff together. And she manages to grab her bundle and everything, and she's rushing. And just as she's about to run out the door, she runs into Leary. Leary is standing outside her door. So Claire is like, oh, Leary, is there something I can help you with? And Leary is like, well, I just was wondering if you had like a brew or a potion or something that could help to open a lad's heart to a lass. And Claire's like, what? I was just wondering if you had something that could help a lad, that could lead a lad to open up to a lass. And Claire's like, you mean Mr. McTavish? And she's like, yes. And Claire's like, well, I saw y'all the other day and you didn't seem like you needed much help. And Leary's like, no, not for that. For his heart. That's easy. It's his heart that I wanted him to open up to me. And Claire's like, oh, okay. So she says, hold on a moment. So she goes into the surgery. She's looking around for something. And she grabs some horse dung. Some dried horse dung, pour it into a little flask and bring it out to Leary. And she says, here, sprinkle this outside his door and just repeat 3 times. There's no place like love. There's no place like love. There's no place like love. And Leary's like, oh, thank you, miss. And she runs off with it. So then Claire runs on. She's got everything she needs. She thinks she's getting away. But then she runs into some drunk Highlanders, some drunk Mackenzies that she doesn't know. In the hallway, they're peeing against the wall. I don't give a fuck, apparently. And when they see her, they're thinking, oh, it's party time. So they start to come on to her and being aggressive. And, you know, she's freaking out like, oh, my God. And then Dougal comes out of nowhere and knocks the shit out of all of them and makes them leave. But before she can leave, she says, thank you, I better go. He's like, nope, you can't leave because now I want my turn or whatever. So he tries to come on to her. He even tries to reach under her dress. She is up kicking him in the balls, you know. And, you know, then he grabs her and he says, okay, you need to get out of here before something bad happens to you. So she tries. So she doesn't leave because she had dropped her bag with her stuff in it. She looks down and when he sees that she's looking down, he looks down too and sees the bag. So he looks at her like, what is this? And then he looks like he's about to reach down and pick up the bag. But she grabs like a chair or a small table or something and just breaks it over his fucking head, knocks him out, then grabs her bag and runs. She makes it outside. She's headed to the stables. Once she gets to the stables, she falls over something. And suddenly someone jumps up and pins her to the ground with a dagger to her throat. She screams, "Jesus H. Roosevelt Christ." And it turns out that it is Jamie. And Jamie smirks at her and says, "No, it's just me." Very cute. I love it. I love it. Anyway, he gets up. She gets up. He apologizes for, you know, scaring her or whatever. But then he sees her bag and he smirks and he says, "Really? You think you're getting away tonight just because all the men are at the gathering?" She says, "Yes, everyone is drunk. I planned out my whole escape. I have a trail in the forest. I'm getting out of here." And he says, "But you do realize that Colum has extra security in the forest tonight because of all these men here at the gathering that need protection." And Claire's like, "Well, I'm leaving anyway. I don't care." Jamie's like, "Look, you can't. You're going to get caught. This is not going to work." He says, "Look, let me just take you back up to the castle." So he gets her bag and she's like, "I've been planning this for weeks. I've been planning this escape for a long time. And to just have this shattered in just a moment." He's like, "It's all right. I'm just going to take you back up to the castle." She's like, "You know, I can't go back." He's like, "Why not?" She's like, "Well, I ran into Dougal in the corridor. First it was some drunken men, and then it was Dougal, and he was forward with me. And, well, I might have knocked him over the head with a chair and then knocked him out cold." And Jamie was like, "Was he drunk?" And she says, "Yes, very." And then he laughs and he says, "Well, I doubt he'd remember it. And if he does, he's not going to want to admit that Alas got the best of him." And then he says, and Claire, she looks really worried. She's like, "I can't go back. They're going to, you know, do something to me for knocking Dougal out." And Jamie's like, "No, it's fine. Come on." And the look of reassurance and comfort on his face, I'm like, you know what? I would believe him too. I would follow him too. I mean, he just looked so welcoming, you know. This is why everybody is so crazy about Jamie right here. It really is. So anyway, Jamie is, you know, taking Claire to this like secret tunnel to sneak her back into the castle so that they won't be seen. But unfortunately, they're caught. Some guards grab Claire, and then Jamie goes to try to get her, and they're just discovered. Jamie tries to fight them off. He knocks a few of them out, but then Rupert comes along and knocks him over the head. So in the next scene, they're in the castle. Jamie is getting dressed. Claire's standing there. And unfortunately, now that Jamie has been discovered, he has now been forced to get dressed so that he can pledge his oath to Colum, which is what he was trying to hide and avoid. So anyway, they give him the brooch that has the Mackenzie pledge on it, or motto on it. And Jamie tosses that aside and he says, "I can't wear that." So Claire is standing near him and the other men are kind of across the room. They can't really hear. So he's talking to Claire and he's saying, "I have my own clan with my own pledge." And Claire asked him, what is his clan? She didn't even know he had a different clan. What's the pledge? And he looks at her and says, or the motto rather. And he says, "My clan is Jessupre." Jessupre. Is it Jessupre? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting how to pronounce it. Jessupre. Jesse Pre, whatever. Oh my God. We say this all the time in the Outlander community. And now I'm forgetting how it's pronounced. But anyway, it's basically means I am ready in French. Jesse Pre. So anyway, I'm probably saying it wrong. But anyway, this is the Fraser. This is the Fraser pledge. This is the Fraser motto. This is the Fraser clan saying, Jesse Pray. That is their saying. So that is the clan he has pledged his loyalty to, his fealty to. That is his father's clan, and that is the clan he is pledged to. So he's got to figure out a way to, you know, go in here and please call him, but not offend him and let him know still that he's already pledged to Clan Fraser. So later, after, you know, everyone goes back into the main room where all the men are still pledging their fealty, Jamie shows up. Claire is already there. She's standing next to Murtaugh, and Jamie gets in line to do the same. When Murtaugh sees him, he's like, oh no, you know, everybody is looking at Jamie like, oh God, you know, and, Claire doesn't quite understand why this is such a problem. And Murtaugh pretty much breaks it down for her, saying that Jamie is Colum's nephew and he has Mackenzie blood because of his mother. His mother is a Mackenzie, but Dougal wants to be the next Laird. If Colum dies, or when Colum dies, Dougal expects to take over. But because Jamie is, I guess, more popular, more people might want him because he has, you know, even though Dougal is a Mackenzie, he's not seen to be as much of a leader, I guess, as Jamie is. So being Colum's nephew and being more popular and being seen as more of a warrior and maybe more of a leader than Dougal is, then if Jamie were to pledge his fealty to Dougal, then he would be in line for lairdship if Colum passes. And that is something that Dougal does not want. And if the other people want it, then that's what would happen. So Dougal wanted Jamie to stay out of sight. I believe Colum also did. But because Jamie was discovered by Claire, then that's all messed up. So now he has to do something. And Claire's like, oh my God, if he had just stayed out of sight and hadn't been helping me, this is all my fault. And Murtaugh was like, yep, it sure is. So by the time Jamie gets up in front of Colum, he kneels down. Then he looks up at Colum. Then he stands. And when he stands, everybody kind of assumes that this is him about to disrespect Colum and tell him he's not going to pledge his fealty. So everybody is like, all these men are grabbing hold of their daggers like they're finna pull them out. Dougal puts his hand on his sword like he's about to do something. And then Jamie basically says, you know, I honor you and I am loyal to you, but I give you no vow. Before I am already pledged to Clan Fraser. However, I do give you my servitude and my obedience. As long as I am on Clan Mackenzie or on Mackenzie land, I am bound to do whatever you tell me to do, basically. So after Jamie makes his pledge, that's not really a pledge, there's a very tense moment. Colum is staring, very tense. Dougal is staring, standing next to Colum. Everybody in the hall is tense and staring. And then Colum reaches over, gets his bowl of wine, and smiles and hands it to Jamie to drink from. And Jamie smiles back, very cute. and takes a big gulp and drinks all of the wine in the bowl, and everyone cheers and everyone is happy. So apparently just pledging your obedience and your loyalty is enough. And Dougal is pleased because that is not the same as pledging your fealty, because, you know, that would mean he would be in line for the throne, is it? So this means he's not. He still is Laird and still is pledged to his own clan. Anyway, after Jamie is leaving the hall, he starts to leave the hall. He goes towards the back where Claire and Murtaugh are standing. And Claire gives him like this look, like, that was so hot. She doesn't say that, but the look in her eyes just says all of that. And I agree, girl, that was hot as fuck. But anyway, he kind of leaves, you know, he looks at her like, yeah, I know. And Murtaugh says, you too old for this shit. So Murtaugh and him, they leave, and Claire is left there just kind of looking in awe, I guess, of Jamie's amazing charisma. So anyway, the next scene is the hunt. They're out in the forest. Claire is bitching at everybody about how they're trying to kill pigs and how disgraceful it is. And Murtaugh's like, yeah, whatever. Get on your horse. You obviously don't know how dangerous this is. She's like, yeah, oh yeah, so dangerous. Like she doesn't believe it. And then they come across their first boar, and somebody's leg gets gored, and it's a horrible wound. And Claire's still being smug, even as she's helping this guy patch up his bloody leg. Like, it's so good for you. You know, she says, give one mark to the pig, you know, since you guys are out here chasing them and stuff. Need to leave them alone. That's what you get. Then somebody else screams, and she goes running off to see about them, and tells Rupert, who's there with her, to, you know, take this guy back to the castle. And Rupert is like, look, this is dangerous out here. You don't need to run off by yourself. She's like, I got it. Don't worry. She is so hard-headed. So anyway, she's running through the forest like she can't be hurt, right? You know, telling everybody else, that's good, the pig got you, good. Like she's immune to the attack, right? So of course, her crazy ass starts hearing the grunting and snorting of something that she can't see. Then suddenly she looks around and a freaking giant boar is charging towards her. She screams, but right before it gets to her, the boar is shot, and she looks over and sees that it is Dougal who has shot the boar. Then they hear somebody else screaming out, or maybe it's the same guy, I don't know. So they go running, and Dougal goes running. Claire is still in a state of shock. She has to stand there for a minute looking down at the giant dead boar, you know. But then she goes off to find, you know, whoever was yelling. And when she gets there, finally, Dougal is already embracing this man who's lying on the ground, bleeding profusely from his leg. And Claire looks at the wound, and she takes like a cloth or something and ties it off. And she's thinking, okay, this is not so bad. It's bad, but, you know, we can do something. But then she looks at his shirt and sees that it is puffy and bloody. She opens it up, and his intestines are just sitting out for the world to see. So, it's not funny. I know I'm laughing, but, you know, he's a goner, you know. And I'm only laughing because this is a TV show. He's not really dead, okay? So I can laugh. So if anybody's sensitive about my laughter, get over it, okay? Jesus. Anyway. It is a sad scene. You know, when you're watching it, you're not laughing. When you're watching it, it's very sad. Poor Geordi, that was the man's name. Dougal is comforting him. I mean, rubbing his head, whispering to him, speaking to him in Gaelic, telling him it's okay. When Claire sees that mortal wound to the abdomen, though, she looks at Dougal and just shakes her head. Mm-mm. Yeah, he's gone. So Dougal's like, yeah. So the tourniquet that Claire had tied to his leg, Dougal just takes it off. He just undoes the tie and lets the blood flow. So basically, they're just going to let the man die. Die cleanly, like die there on the ground, looking up at the sky as Doodle talks to him. Claire talks to him too, asks him about his home. Because the man at one point has started to panic because he couldn't feel his leg. He couldn't feel his hands. All of a sudden, he couldn't see Dougal. Where are you? Even though Dougal was holding him. Oh, it was so sad. When you're watching it, it's just, you know, you can't help but just, if you don't cry, you come close. It's really very emotional. But when Claire asks him to describe his home and he starts describing how beautiful it is, and he says, I wish I could go back there. And Dougal says, oh, you'll be there soon. And soon the man closes his eyes. He's gone. And everybody's standing around, and that's it. He dies. So they pack up and head back to the castle. Once they get there with the body, you know, of Geordi, Dougal notices that there's a game going on. I don't know what this game is called. It looks like hockey, but on grass. And they're doing it with a ball. They have like sticks that look like hockey sticks. And instead of a puck, it's a little ball. And they're, of course, on grass instead of ice. And everybody is playing in their kilts and stuff. And just their shirts on. And Dougal stands on the sidelines for like a second. Looking, I think he sees Jamie running the game and he gets angry or jealous, I don't know which, maybe both, and decides to join the game because he's top dog here. He's not going to let Jamie run shit. So he gets in the game and starts just cheating, knocking people in the back of the legs with a stick, knocking people into the pots of stew, just going crazy. And he heads right to Jamie, you know, pushing on him with his shoulder, knocking him around. Jamie's like, oh, okay, you want to fight rough. So Jamie at first thinks he's playing. But when Dougal knocks Jamie down two or three times, Jamie's like, oh, okay, we playing like this. Oh, I see what's up. So then Jamie joins the rough party. You know, he goes back to Dougal and he starts playing rough. So they're pushing at each other and bumping into each other and grunting and fighting. And suddenly, I mean, Dougal has like knocked Jamie in his like chest or whatever, like two or three times. And Jamie keeps going, Finally, Jamie gets sick of it and takes Dougal's big ass and flips him over his entire body, flat on the ground on his back. When Dougal lands, he's just like down. He's like, oh God. Jamie's standing there like big, tough, redheaded Scotsman. Very sexy, I must say. And they did it in slow motion too. I love that. That shit was hot. So anyway, after that, he helps Dougal up. Jamie helps Dougal up and says, you taught me well, Uncle. And Dougal's like, yeah, too well. So Dougal hobbles off, you know, defeated. And Jamie's looking around all smug like, yeah, that was me that did that shit right there. Did you see that? Did you catch that? So Murtaugh comes and pats him on the back. And Angus. Oh, yeah. Poor Angus. Angus is hobbling along with them because at one point, I think Murtaugh had actually just shoved his stick right between Angus's legs and gave, because Angus had been like playing rough too and he was cheating. And so Murtaugh got a little sick of it and decided to put an end to it by getting Angus right in the balls with the stick. So Angus at the end, when they were going back in, was hobbling along so funny. It was his little funny, scrawny body. The way he was hobbling along was pretty cute. So anyway, after the game, Clara is back in her surgery. She's down there cutting up herbs or vegetables or whatever she's cutting up. And Dougal comes down And when Dougal sees her, you know, he looks at her and she looks at him like, what? And he says to her, you've seen men die before, you know, referring to how she handled Geordi. And she says, yes, many. So basically Dougal just, you know, comes in and he says to her that, you know, she's a good healer, you know, and Mrs. Fitz, you know, loves her so much she'd have her sit for a portrait, you know, and everyone thinks she's so great. And he personally just wanted to thank her for what she did for poor Geordi. And she's like, oh, I didn't do anything. I wished I could have helped him. He said, you did. You know, you took him to a peaceful place, which is all any of us can ask for when we pass. So thank you. And she said, you're welcome. Now, if that's all you need, I'm really busy down here in my dungeon. He's like, well, you know, that's another reason why I came. I'm taking you on a road with me. And Claire's like, what? He's like, yeah, we're going to go off to the other Mackenzie lands collecting rent from all the people who couldn't come to the gathering. And it takes a long time. It can be a very arduous trip, a lot of stress, a lot of strain. And having a healer along would be very helpful. So I'm taking you. And Claire's like, okay. He's like, we leave at first light. So he leaves, and then the next morning, very early, they all are heading out on horseback, heading off to collect rents. It's Dougal and everybody else, Murtaugh, Rupert, Jamie, and Claire. Everybody's heading out. And narrator Claire, and not just them, of course, it's lots of other people too. And narrator Claire is once again hopeful that now that she's outside of the castle, and by the way, they have her decked out in this really cute coat with like a hood with fur trim, and the sleeves have fur trim around the sleeves. It's very cute. Anyway, she's saying that now that she's out of the castle and she's taking a breath of fresh air, you know, and this trip will probably present an opportunity. She's hoping that it will take her to the stones. And if so, she's got to take a chance again and take an opportunity to escape once again. So that's the end. That is the end of this episode and the end of The Gathering. I love this episode, of course, like I do every Outlander episode, of course. But what I like about this episode so much is that I think in this episode, even more so than usual. And yes, you know, Jamie and Claire have had many moments where they have had a moment of looking at each other, gazing into each other's eyes, and just feeling that connection. But in this episode, there were just so many. You know, there was the time when Claire discovered Jamie in the stable when she was trying to escape and she tripped over him, and when he decided to, you know, and when he told her, look, this ain't gonna work, this is not happening, let me just take you back. And you know, he gives her this look because she's scared. She's like, I hit Dougal over the head. I can't go back. Are you kidding? They're going to kill me. Are you crazy? And Jamie's like, look, I got you. Come on. It's okay. You're fine. It's okay. You know, and that look he gives her is just so comforting. And what woman wouldn't look into those baby blues and go, okay, if you say so. You know, he's just so freaking, you just want to follow him wherever the hell he takes you, you know. And then there's when she's in the room with him as he's changing into his new shirt and his clothes to go and pledge his, you know, allegiance or whatever to call him. And he tells her about Jess We Pray, you know, and all that stuff. Oh, God, he looks so gorgeous in this scene. The shots of Jamie in this particular scene are just so flattering. His hair, his eyes, just everything about him. The lighting, just the way that it just kind of cascades off his hair. And, you know, he just looks so freaking smoldering. Like when he says those words, "Jess, we pray." Everyone knows what I'm talking about. You do, don't you? Of course you do. Ladies, come on. We all know. That scene is smoldering, you know, and for Claire to be like, oh, okay. He says, go find your place in the hall. And when she leaves and she's like, just we pray, I am ready. But ready for what? You know, as she's walking to that hall, her bloomers or panties or whatever are just soaked through in the crotch. You know they are. You know they are. Don't judge me. You know that it's true. Mine sure would be, goddammit. And then the look that he gives her after the oath, you know, after he saves himself and doesn't quite pledge his fealty, but he does pledge his obedience and his, you know, loyalty to Colum as long as he's on his land, you know. And then he pulls himself out of the fire. And Claire is so impressed with him and giving him all these smoldering eyes. And he's giving her smoldering eyes right back, you know. Love it, love it, love it. You know, and of course, after the fight, not the fight, but the game of Quidditch or whatever the fuck that was. I say Quidditch. I'm thinking of Harry Potter. But, you know, whatever that game was that they're doing with the sticks that looks like grass hockey, you know, and when he dumps Google over his back onto the ground and he gives a quick glance at Claire and she's standing off to the side like, okay, I see you. There was just so many moments in this episode of Jamie and Claire, you know, and Claire just being impressed with the man that is Jamie. Yes, he's young. Yeah, he's young, but he's a man, baby. And you know you want him. You know you do. Everybody does. Anyway. Next week's episode is going to be Rent, where we see how things go with the McKenzie clan and all these people and Claire as they go off collecting rents from all of the McKenzies and everything like that. And it's going to be an adventurous episode. We're all going to be excited. So I will be back next Sunday to recap that one for you as well. Thank you guys for tuning in this week and have a great week. And I will see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.